ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Norman, I want to know if you have a mosquito magnet friend, that person that you know that if you're with them, you won't get bitten. Because I think if you don't have that friend, then you are that friend.
I have more than one friend.
One for every occasion.
I have a friend who has children, and basically the friend and children are the mosquito magnets. So it's great having dinner outside with them. Fantastic.
My mosquito magnet friend is my sister, who who actually caught the OG mosquito-borne disease, malaria. So I probably shouldn't joke about it. She was always, like, even as a little kid, she was always covered in mosquito bites when other people weren't. And so it was bad, but maybe not entirely surprising when she got malaria. She's fine now.
I'm glad to hear that. And Mozzies is what this What's That Rash is all about.
Yeah. Why do some people seem to get bitten so much more than others? I am health reporter Tegan Taylor on Jagera and Turrbal land.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan on Gadigal land.
And today's question is from Patrick, who was writing this after he'd gone outside early in the morning to let the dogs out, got bitten by mosquitoes. It happens all the time. Patrick says, I seem to attract the mosquitoes. I'm the person you bring along camping to sacrifice for the sake of fellow campers. My question is this a real thing? Are some people more attractive to mosquitoes? And if so, why is it so?
Thank you, Patrick. Great question. Lots of people have been wondering that through the years. If you want to turn off this Watch That Rash very quickly and move on to something else, the quick answer is yes, but we're going to tell you why it's so.
Oh, because it's going to get gory?
No, necessarily, no. But maybe a bit smelly.
Oh, smelly, okay. I'm interested to know why mosquitoes actually need to bite us at all, because I'm pretty sure we're not their only food source.
Blood is a significant part of their food supply. Either it's human animals or non-human animals that they feed on, and it's only the female mosquito that feeds on your blood. Male mosquitoes manage to get their stuff elsewhere.
See, they're so resourceful, these men. Women are just...
Yeah, so women are just much better at sucking your blood, but they're doing it for a good cause, which is reproduction. And, of course, they live longer than the men.
Well, there you go. Just like humans.
Yeah.
You really are getting like a full buffet when you're feeding on human blood. Like, there's a lot in there. It's not just drinking nectar out of a plant.
It's so much better than a coffee. You know, the vampires really knew what they were up to. You know, they're getting blood fats, they're getting protein, you are getting hormones, you're getting all sorts of stuff. But mind you, you're probably getting a few viruses as well.
We're giving them viruses.
Yeah, I mean, people have really tried to cut back on blood transfusions because you can catch all sorts of things from a blood transfusion that they're not aware of. But that's not what this What's That Rash is about. We're talking about mozzies now.
Mozzies. So, okay, how do they know that we've got blood in us? What is giving them the signal that we're tasty?
Well, this is what's so fascinating. And it's whilst there's a lot of variation between mosquito species, there seems to be a commonality about why mosquitoes get attracted to human beings and probably tell us a bit about why some people truly are mosquito attractors and some people are less so. First of all, it's something we all do, is that when we breathe out carbon dioxide. And mosquitoes can detect the carbon dioxide plume that comes from your breath. So unless at a barbecue you hold your breath and faint, you're going to be excreting carbon dioxide. So that's the first thing. Second thing
I think ticks are the same. I think ticks home in on the carbon dioxide plume. That's how they find you.
That's quite possible. I haven't swatted up on ticks for this particular What's That Rash.
Swatted, look
but,
at you.
Very good. The other thing is body temperature. So mosquitoes run at a temperature of maybe 28 degrees, but they seem to be tuned to be attracted to a temperature of 37 degrees. So body temperature is the other thing. And here's the smelly thing, body odour. There is a species of mosquito that loves stinky cheese, Limburger cheese. And interestingly, it's a bit controversial because other studies have not shown that, but the bugs that they – so this is going to put you off stinky cheese for the rest of your life. The bugs that produce this stinky cheese are also the same bugs that cause foot odour.
Right.
Have you ever wondered why your ankles get preferentially bitten?
Of course. My gosh. Yeah, okay.
So one reason is that you're not wearing trousers or jeans or whatever that are going down to your feet. But even when you're wearing shorts – it's your ankles that get bitten because the mozzies get attracted to foot odour.
So if you've got your mosquito magnet friend, you can just tell them that they smell like stinky cheese and feet.
So here's the thing. What looks as though is the hierarchy of attractants in terms of orders. Hands seem to be greater than socks and seem to be greater than cheese. But essentially, when we sweat, as we all do to some extent, the sweat and our pores produce lipids and bacteria feed on those lipids. And those bacteria, when they feed on those lipids, produce odour. And we have different microbiomes. Our external microbiome is as different as our internal microbiome. And it's likely that one of the elements that attract mosquitoes to people is probably the microbiome of the bacteria that digest the sweat. We should have put a warning on this. What's that rash?
This isn't anywhere near as gross as we've gotten on this show and probably child's play compared to what we're going to get to at some stage. So if your microbiome and the sweat and the bacteria in the sweat eating your sweat is like making you stinky, is having a shower going to do the job? Just wash it all off.
So I haven't seen a randomised control trial of showering and what soap you use there. Maybe the soap actually might attract them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is an interesting thought. So I suppose if you've got kids who are... Well, it depends. What's your motivation here? Sitting next to somebody who's got strong body odour but you know is going to attract the mosquitoes or please, child, go and have a shower before you come back to the barbecue.
I've never found that my mosquito magnet friends are like noticeably stinkier to me. They must only be stinkier to mosquitoes.
I think that might well be the case.
So my question then is, if because you know you can have fecal microbiota transplants where people get like a poo transplant to get the healthy bacteria into their bowel if they've been really, really sick. And there's been some emerging research about oral microbiome transplants as well. Could you perhaps have a skin microbiome transplant if you were like really badly mosquito magnety?
Okay, so I've got to go really gross now. You mean if I were to lick your ankle?
Don't lick, no, lick someone else's ankle. But yeah. Yes, okay, fine.
Okay,
yes.
Or lick an ankle and make a difference. You have to factor into all this. There's a distinct advantage to have a mosquito attractor at the table. You know, do you really want to intervene? But there is another thing that goes with mosquito attractants, and that's colour.
Colour. Of what?
Your hair, your clothes.
Really?
Yeah. Now, this varies according to mosquito species. And the earliest paper I found on this was in the 1940s where they did a study. And there's been a recent study of this where they've actually exposed different mosquitoes. So, interestingly, the 1940s study was in Aedes mosquitoes. Now, Aedes mosquitoes, by the way, are the commonest overarching species of mosquito in Australia. And the one that they did more recently was Anopheles, which is the one that transmits malaria. What's common to all mosquito species seems to be that they're attracted to black and very dark colours. And there are some species that may be also attracted to tan colour or dark blue or red. The other common factor in colour is that when they did this experiment in the lab and they exposed the mosquitoes to white, they went from hundreds of mosquitoes landing on black to one mosquito landing on white.
Is that maybe a camouflage thing? Like mosquitoes are black, and so are they maybe instinctively looking to camouflage themselves in dark surfaces?
That could be one theory, if we were able to interrogate a mosquito. Another could be that white is not associated with blood.
Okay. If you are a dark-skinned person or a light-skinned person, does that affect how attractive you are to mosquitoes then?
Isn't that an interesting idea? The people I know who are attracted, the mosquitoes are attracted to, are actually fair-skinned.
Yeah, me too. So that doesn't really, yeah, I don't know. More research required.
So we're down to the common things. Carbon dioxide. If you've sat down for your evening barbecue outside and you've just been at the gym and exercising, you are actually going to be producing more carbon dioxide and you're going to be exuding more body heat. So that could make it more attractive. And once you've had your shower, change into a white T-shirt, white linen pants and the white shoe brigade.
And so you'll also look like an Instagrammer while you avoid the mosquitoes. We shouldn't, like, we're joking around. And in Australia, mosquitoes aren't huge vectors for disease, but globally, I mean, I think they're the most deadly animal on earth when you consider the diseases they transmit. What else do we have in our arsenal to help protect against them, especially for people who are seemingly at increased susceptibility to them?
Really good question. And what's recommended is if you're in a high malaria or high endemic area of diseases like dengue and so on, don't go outside as the sun is going down. Stay inside. Cover your body as much as possible. We would say, and cover it in white, and use insect repellent, use mosquito repellent that's appropriate for that particular environment, particularly if you're overseas. And talking about transmitting infection, I mean, having a look at the different mosquitoes in different parts of Australia, and they're remarkably similar. As you go further north, for example, in your area, in Brisbane, there's a big mosquito called Aedes flavifrons, which collects in the water under plants. And there's Aedes vigilax, which is a salt marsh mozzie. Now, vigilax is all over Australia, and it's the one that can carry Ross River fever, Barmavore forest virus, Murray Valley encephalitis. So it's a nasty little one. West Australia has over 30 species, but very similar to the East Coast. So there are amongst our mosquitoes ones that certainly can carry serious disease.
Yeah, and when they're attracted to warmer weather and wetter weather with climate change, they might be moving out of those where they currently are into new environments too.
That's absolutely right.
I do feel like the nights where you realise that you are the mosquito magnet at the table, it's tempting to just want to like completely eradicate every mosquito from the face of the earth.
Well, and in fact, researchers in Queensland are trying to do that with the ones that carry dengue by infecting the mosquitoes with a bug that renders them, if I remember rightly, infertile. And that technology is spreading around the world.
I feel like whenever I have this conversation with people, they're like, good, like get rid of them, get rid of them for good.
Well, yeah.
They're actually really important in the global ecosystem. So our main interaction with mosquitoes that we realise is when they bite you and you slap them and then you've got the bit of blood on your hand and it's gross. And they are really deadly animals, but they're actually really important in the food chain. They're really important pollinators, especially the male mosquitoes, which don't bite humans. They're just the big kind of weird ones that you sometimes see every now and again. Their larvae and eggs are food for fish and turtles and amphibians and stuff, and birds and bats also eat them. Although when I think about mosquito larvae as food for bats, it's sort of like, which potentially deadly animal would you like to protect? Bats are also really important pollinators.
Okay, so be kind to mosquitoes is what you're telling me?
I mean, slap them if they're on you, I think. I think that's a fairly defensible position. But eradicating them entirely would have knock-on effects that would be bad. Like we wouldn't have any food to eat.
But to answer Patrick's question, yes, there are some people who are attractors. There's no question about that. But you can minimise the impact and go and have a shower.
Go have a shower, Patrick.
There's one benefit relating to our previous What's That Rash that I think that we could speculate on.
Okay.
Do you think that mosquitoes could be benefiting from all these multivitamins that we've been taking?
You're accusing multivitamins of giving us expensive wee when they may also be giving us supercharged mosquitoes.
That's right. They're just getting a
really muscly mosquito, really burly.
And we've had lots of feedback to our multivitamin episode a few weeks ago. And we've had lots of requests looking to specific vitamins such as D, C, B3. We will get to those in time. And Barbara's got a comment.
Yes. So Barbara's saying, and I think that this really speaks to the motivation behind a lot of people taking them as well, many well-meaning parents ply their kids with vitamins because they reckon the little ones aren't getting enough of the good things in their diets. And so Barbara's saying, if a child is a fussy eater and won't eat their veggies, should they be given vitamin tablets? Now, I heard a rumour, Norman Swan, that you are actually a paediatrician.
Well, I'm not a paediatrician, but I did train in paediatrics. And last week on 7:30, I actually did a story on this. As kids get into their second year of life, so from 12 months, they become fussy eaters. And then parents start to worry that the kids aren't getting enough nutrition. And what my story was about last week was toddler milks. One in three Australian toddlers are on one of these toddler formulae, which are dreadful things. I mean, they're coaching with carbohydrates, added sugars, they're sweetened, and probably associated with obesity and maybe associated with making your child more fussy, not less. And the story with a fussy eater is sit them down and you all eat at the same time. They're eating adult food and keep on offering them the new foods that you're eating at the table and don't worry if they reject them. And the thing is not to make mealtimes a battle, and multivitamins will not solve the problem.
Was this what you did with your kids too?
Yeah. I never had a single supplement.
Never had a single tantrum.
I didn't say that. Now, we're coming to the land of the mosquito. I'm coming up to the land of the mosquito, Tegan, for a special event at the World Science Conference.
Oh, are you talking about my home state of Queensland? Because we have many more things than mosquitoes up here.
And one of which is a live recording of What's That Rash, which you can all come to.
I hope people come. Please send us your questions to thatrash@abc.net.au. And if you can be in Brisbane to come to our live show, we want you to be there and we might even let you ask your question in real life.
Yep. So two double passes to give away. Send in your questions now. And if they make me blush, you've won.
Yeah, it's an adults only event. So go wild.
Black Label, What's That Rash? See you next week.
See you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.